outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, welcome to summertime in January.
Yeah.
That's about all I can say.
I was asking you what month it was. You did say it's January,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. But boy, I don't feel like it, but we're going to pay for this. Don't worry about it. We're going to pay for this.
Well, let me take this opportunity to tell you that it is 63 degrees and overcast in Bloomington on January 11th. So that's got to be some kind of a record, maybe.
I think it liked, what was it they said? Well, that was the water temp or the waterfall.
Yeah.
They just liked a tenth of an inch of being a record.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty close.
Of water or something. They got all kinds of records.
Yeah,
it has to be pretty close to a record.
Well, and it's windy too out there right now, and it's been for a day or so.
Yeah.
I thought that would kind of be over with after the front came through, but apparently not.
No, and it's plenty windy this morning, that's for sure.
Seemed like windier in town than it was south of town when I first came in.
Well, it just hadn't got to us maybe yet, south of town. I don't know.
Well, anyway, we are going to see showers all day today, and some say a little bit of heavy rain, so up to 1 or 2 more inches today, possibly.
We can get another 2 to 3, the weatherman did.
Yeah.
And could get up to as much as 5 inches in places.
Well, and just to finish out the weather report, it is going to be high of 44 on Sunday and then back up into the 50s and 60s towards the midweek. There you go.
You was talking about protecting the wildlife there a minute ago, as we always do. I guess you've been watching the fires over in, where Australia is it?
I've seen a lot of news about that.
And I forget how many million little animals has been.
They say half a billion.
Half a billion. Them little koalas and stuff.
They're already endangered, from what I hear.
They
might be real endangered now.
Yeah. That's sad, and there's no way to save them. I mean, when the fire goes through, it's done. It's done.
Well, the way I see it, it is a natural occurrence. I know there was some arson involved, from what I also was hearing this week.
Oh yeah.
Well, they were saying people were going around setting fires just for fun. And
I don't know, call that much fun, but that's all right.
I don't know either, but apparently, hopefully, they catch those people. But
yes,
it is a natural occurrence, and it does happen. And sometimes, a few years down the road, you'd be surprised how things come back. So,
it'll come back. But it's just the fact that what about the wildlife?
I just hope they can come back.
It's going to take a long time for them to come back.
And the temperatures in Australia are really high now, too.
Right.
Of the highest they've ever had.
Right. And
at least that we know about.
I don't know whether the forest has got anything to do, heat-wise or not. I'm sure it has.
I don't know.
To a certain extent, but I don't know.
It's a dry place. Hey, but before we get too far, I wanted to introduce our guest, because he's sitting right here patiently, and his name is Dave Simcox, and I really appreciate him coming all the way out here early in the morning, even though it is 63 degrees. I couldn't pick a better day for it.
Oh, no, and he's got a lot of information, and he's very up-to-date on we've been talking here a little bit for the show, and he's well-educated and knows what's going on, and very serious about the lake, and as we are, we have always been, and I think we got somebody coming in here. Come on in, John.
Good morning.
By golly, we got another one coming in.
I made it.
One more voice.
Yeah, one more voice.
I think Don's going to call in, too. He's not able to be here today, but calling in.
I think John took my cane, but I see mine still over there, so I guess me and him's in the same category,
well,
I reckon.
I have to share.
But anyway, Dave has got a lot of information, and Dave, John, yeah, we'll introduce there.
Yeah. I listened in the last time you were on.
Hey, pull that mic down. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I listened in the last time you were here, Dave. I wasn't here, but I was listening.
Well, I hope it was okay.
It all worked.
Thank you.
You're talking about something I care about.
Good. Yeah.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
We all care, and on the news, they've been kind of talking about, I think, water this week. I haven't caught a lot of it. I don't watch a whole lot of news because it's the same thing over and over. We ought to all be concerned about it, and but we're going to get to Dave. Let Dave. What's going on, Dave? Anyway.
Well, I wanted to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about Lake Monroe and a public meeting that's going to be held in Nashville this coming Tuesday. It's organized League of Women Voters and the Friends of Lake Monroe, and it's at the Brown County Public Library. Downstairs starts at 6:45 and runs till 8:30, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this, but this is a great opportunity. If you missed the meeting in November in Bloomington, we're doing the same thing in Nashville, and I'll tell you more about that. But as I mentioned last time I was here, on Inside Outdoors, that the League of Women Voters had committed to organize two public meetings that are required by a grant that the Friends of Lake Monroe just got. And so this national meeting will be the second one. Reason why this is important, and give you a chance to ask some questions about it, a little bit of upfront here. Last time that we had a comprehensive study on this lake was 1997. And of course, this is of major importance to us, and for so many reasons. And the Friends Lake Monroe that were formed in 2016 applied for a grant in 2018, and it was awarded with EPA money and through IDEM, Indiana Department of Environmental Management, this fall. And to the tune of about $300,000, when you add up how much the city, the county, various organizations, in-kind contributions, it's a lot of money. And it's a two-year study. They've hired a full-time coordinator now for this, to put together this plan to address non-point source pollution for the lake. And it's a two-year study, as I mentioned. And Lady Maggie Sullivan is the new full-time coordinator, just came on. And so we're really going to be able to put some effort behind this. A lot of work's going to be done at SPIA. And doing water sampling, things like that. So this is really going to generate a lot of data, and that data will be used to identify where the key problems are with the lake, the things that can be addressed, and how you might go about addressing that, and then get city, county, local governments, the agencies around the lake, Corps of Engineers, everybody to kind of buy in that this is a good plan, and then go forward and do that. So that's what this is all about. So. Anyway, this meeting is intended to get the public input and concerns about the lake on the record. So this is official. And, you know, we all have our own ideas about where the problems are of the lake, right?
Right.
Well, I can tell you from the first meeting, probably the most important thing, we had about almost 60 people show up.
That's great.
And it was wonderful. We had facilitators, had a workshop. And probably the big thing we took away from this is that people really enjoyed sitting around the table, talking to others who might have had a different view or concern, saw the lake through a different lens, and talked about it. Mm-hmm. And you learn more than you come in trying to preach, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, and so if people have time this Tuesday, like I said, 6:45, get in the door there at the Brown County Public Library. It's a great opportunity to exchange views with other people and have your voice heard.
Where is the library over in Brown County, Nashville?
Well, you come in on 46 instead of turning right there at the light there and going south down towards Nawbone. You go mm-hmm. straight into town. I don't have my street names real good for Nashville. I think it might be Main Street. But anyway, you just keep going straight. You go through the main light in town and go on up the hill, and it's on the right a couple blocks.
Oh, on the right.
Yeah, okay. It's on the right.
So you go on through. Yeah.
It's well marked there, too. I've been there before, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And there's upper and lower level parking. The meeting's at the lower level, so if you can find parking down on the lower level, that's the place to start. But there's going to be plenty of parking. And you know, we're hoping to get north of 30, 40 people at this meeting. So hopefully people can come out.
Well, you know, of course, this lake takes in, four or five counties, Lawrence, Monroe, Brown, part of Johnson, isn't it?
Bartholomew.
Bartholomew. I mean, there's several counties that this is.
Yeah, five counties.
Is it five?
56% is in Brown County. In the watershed.
Talking about watershed.
Right, so 415 square mile watershed, and I think next is Monroe at 20-some, and then Jackson, and then Lawrence and Bartholomew are a couple percent.
You know, I never realized that until the last time you were on this. I knew we had a large watershed, but I'm in Owen County, and I just don't think about that many counties being involved in the what I call drainage to
yes,
the lake.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's what's made it kind of tricky is that when you think about five counties, a couple major cities, Corps of Engineers, DNR, Hoosier National, all these agencies and folks are doing a good job working on their part of it. But to organize it and get everybody to the table, that's what the friends bring.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, that's like dealing with governments from several different countries and trying to get everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. That's a little tough. And I love the idea of these meetings and your idea sharing, but what always bothers me is whenever I hear the term meetings, I wonder, what's the result?
Well, good question, good question. So that's one reason why we wanted to do these workshops. And more than half the meeting's gonna be involved in these workshops in small groups, probably five or six with a facilitator at each table. And they're to identify the concerns from everyone around the table and then identify the top ones from that group. And then they're gonna report that back to the larger audience, and all those top concerns, all the concerns, but the top concerns will be pulled together between the Bloomington and the Nashville meeting. This will be over 100 people that have thought about this, talked about this, prioritized this, and provided input. So when they start working on the grant and outlining what they wanna work on and where to address things, I mean, we had owners from marina shops that were there. It's fantastic when business people get involved in this as well. Absolutely. Not only government and business, but local citizens. So that was really an important thing.
When you say top concerns, do you mean the one that's mentioned, the top 10 that's mentioned most by everybody, or that's how you judge that?
Okay. Yeah. And I'm not going to be involved in the analysis, and I'm not the expert in that. I'm more of an organizer.
Right.
But that information is really going to be looked at seriously.
Well, that's a good idea, because you'll get maybe several people involved in the watershed that agree on something. And you'll realize that's a primary incident
yes.
that you can deal with.
Maybe. So one thing I might mention to you, people don't have to sign up ahead for this, but it's always good to know how many people are going to show up.
Yeah, it
roughly
does help.
Anyway. And we managed it pretty well last time. But you can go to the, it's the League of Women Voters. It's lwvbrowncounty.org. That's their website. You go on there and you just click and register, and just real easy to do. Gives us some idea of the attendance. But what I'd suggest to everyone is that you go to the friendsoflakemonroe.org, their website, and sign up for their newsletter. And out of this work, they will, I think on a bi-monthly basis, report out on the progress made on this study. And you can go to the meetings, you can get their newsletter. It's really a great way to stay in touch and find out, you know, whether or not what's happening with the information
yeah.
that's been provided. So again, it's friendsoflakemonroe.org. Go to their website and sign up for the newsletter.
Now, do you expect studies are okay. I got no problem with studies. We need those. But what I want to have an idea of is what the progress will be after the study. Does that create work groups, or what does that do?
Well, it could, and there's going to be a steering committee that's being set up of all major stakeholders that's being organized by Friends right now. So they're going to oversee this, right? So you're going to have a lot of people at the table talking about what direction it ought to go and what results ought to be looked at. But I think the difference between this and what happened in 1997, which was an excellent study out of SPIA, was that there was really good science, but nobody really followed up on the organizing and the commitment and the integrating into policy by local agencies and government.
Right, and that's what worries me about. Whenever government of any type talks about studies and work groups and discussions, I guess I'm overly skeptical, because I spent 17 years in a fairly corporate situation before I retired. And we used to have meetings about what we're going to talk about at the next meeting. And I used to just shake my head, you know.
Yeah. I spent 3 decades in corporate America.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know about
committees.
More,
you got more used to it than I did. I never did get used to it.
Well, one problem we got here, and it's all over, is politics. As politics changed, like you said, they had a good study in 97, and I don't know who the governor or what governor was, don't care, but we've changed governors several times since then. They get away from it. They get on a different track altogether, and that's one reason we can't get anything done. I mean, you know, it comes down to basically politics.
You're exactly right.
And until we get that changed, which I don't know how we're going to change it. I mean, we just got to stick together, like you said, and have meetings and keep forcing it down the roads to get stuff done.
And also,
well, hey, that's a good place to stop right here, because we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
But we'll get right back with this discussion in just a second.
I got to go out and feed old Ned and give him some water, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
I want some bait, I want some bass. I've been a sportsman for a mess of fish. These female crickets I never give. That keeps me searching for a mess of fish. And I lost my bait. Keep me searching for a mess of fish. And I got a snag. Keep me searching for a mess of fish. You keep me searching, I'm getting bait. Searching for a mess of fish. I've been a sportsman for a mess, so bass.
This is Buddy Bill. You know, the lake's still there and it's still wet.
We back?
Yeah, we're back.
We're back.
Well, when we left there, and as John was talking and Dave was talking here, everybody, when you change politics, everybody's got their own ideas, as John said there, and the previous group, but if they don't stay on it, which they have in a way and haven't in a way, and kind of go along and inform the new ones of what's going on, this is where we get in trouble, and it dies, and then we got to start all over again, and that's what we're doing now. Actually, we're starting all over again, and in the meantime, you're talking about 97 to 2020 or 2019. Look at the damage it's done from 97 and then 20 years or so. The damage has been done. Now you got to go back and clean that damage all up, which is sometimes impossible, you might say. And it's something that everybody ought to get interested in, because I'll bet you that practically 100% of the people in Monroe County and surrounding counties drink Lake Monroe water.
Yep. 140,000 people plus.
Okay, right there's your answer. And
By the way, I've got another guest here live, Mr. Don Jordan.
Don Jordan on there? Hey, Don.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here?
There he is.
Boy,
hey.
you don't sound very lively, Don.
Well, I just got out of bed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're on vacation.
Yeah, we're disturbing your vacation.
No, not really. I would be up at this time, but if I was back in Bloomington, I'd have been ready for it.
Uh-huh, right. What part of Florida are you in?
I'm at Cedar Key.
Cedar Key.
Yes, that's in Levy County, which is north of Tampa, St. Pete.
Okay. I've heard of it, but I couldn't place where it was.
On the Gulf Coast, and we're in one of these. I got news for you, gang.
Okay.
Down here, you got me down here to go camping, you better bring your wallet.
Oh, is that right?
It used to be you could get a campground, a private RV kind of campground, you know, for $40 a night, right? Well, we're up to $70 a night, and they're going to change this one into glamping and going to charge $4,000 a week.
What's that?
So,
wow.
What?
Well, what the heck is that?
Glamping. Yeah, that's
and
a
that's,
new thing.
That's fancy camping with a chef.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
I don't believe I want to go there.
I'm not interested.
I'll stay at home.
When my wife passed, we quit. I sold the camper, so I don't have to worry about that. But I sure wouldn't want to spend that kind of money.
Well, we don't want to spend that kind of money either, and that's the reason why all of the state park campgrounds that are in Florida, which are quite a few, are all full.
Right.
They're still charging $40 a night there, you know, and.
Yeah.
There are also these free campgrounds where you have no electric and no water or anything like that, and you just have to kind of do as well as you can.
Well, that's the kind I'd have to have.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to drive a lot of us to that.
Yeah. Well, hey Don, we got Dave Simcox here, and we've been talking about the lake, and I think we've mentioned that there's a meeting in Nashville next Tuesday.
Right.
I want to just make sure everybody knows about that. And Dave, any other information you want to get there before we go on to new topics?
No, I think we covered it very well. I appreciate the opportunity to tell everybody about it.
And again, that's at the Brown County Library. And
6:45.
At 6:45 on Tuesday. I'm sorry, I don't know the date right off. Today's the
14th.
14th.
Yep.
There you go.
Well, hi, Dave.
Hello, Don. Good to talk to
good
you again.
Good to hear your voice. I'm sorry I'm not there to see your smiling face.
It's always a pleasure.
We got John here today, too.
Yes, I heard John. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Yep, the gang's all here.
Yep, the gang's all here. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
I was just barely here, Don. I come in, walking in about a minute late. I'll probably get a demerit.
Well, hey.
I don't think we have a demerit system on this show.
good.
Dave had another topic to bring up I think we ought to get right into, because we don't have all, this hour goes by fast.
It does. It does. Really,
so
too fast.
Let's get into that next topic.
Yeah, let's.
Sure. Be glad to. So we're going to talk about a logging project in the Hoosier National Forest,
right?
Called Houston South, and I'll get into a lot of that. But just a reminder, as I mentioned before, I'm on the Monroe County Environmental Commission, but I'm not here speaking for the county. But I've been involved in this project for quite a while, and I think probably that my comments here will be consistent with views that have been turned in by the county to about this project as part of the official process review. But so this Houston South is an area in the South Fork of Salt Creek, one of the major tributaries of the lake down in Jackson County, primarily.
Yeah.
A little bit of Lawrence, and it's in the Lake Monroe watershed, drains right into Lake Monroe. And this is a massive project that's being proposed. Let me just give you a few numbers to underscore that. There's 4,300 acres that are going to be logged. It's over a 10-year period, maybe more. Repeatedly burn somewhere in the range of 13,000 acres forest land, build about 16 miles of roads, apply herbicide on roughly 2,000 acres on slopes and ridges and hillsides that all drain down into that creek that drains into Lake Monroe. So this is big.
And this is already approved?
No. Okay. So it's going through the review process and managed by the U.S. Forest Service people out of Bedford, the Hoosier National Forest. And we're in the final throes of decision making. And we've got about another month before official decisions are made. But let me tell you a few things about this project, and then maybe we get into some questions, and I'll add a little bit more later on. I've actually got a call to action at the end for folks to do something. So get your pencils and paper ready when we get to that. But so we're saying that this project, and they're saying this project, we're saying that it'll increase sediment nutrient runoff into the South Fork, which is already polluting Monroe Reservoir.
That's my huge concern.
Oh,
is erosion or man-made erosion.
That's correct. Yes, and remember, this is the sole source of drinking water for 140,000 people plus. It's an economic driver for the area. It's important to the city, the county, multiple counties, important for Indiana University. Water is a precious resource around here because we've struggled for 100 years to get a reliable reservoir like this. And this one's been going good for 50 years, but they have a lifetime to them. And we need to make sure that we extend that lifetime as much as possible and don't do things that will.
When you say lifetime, give me an idea of what that might be.
Well, I really don't know. People said, well, it was built for 50 years. Well, that was really only a financial model that was run on the economics of investing and building the lake and the returns on that. But I really can't answer that, but I would expect that it's going to last for decades and decades. It really depends
Sure.
upon how well we treat it.
That's the point right there.
Absolutely. That's the point, yeah.
It depends on what we do and how we control things how long the lake will last.
It's up to our decisions
Yes.
that we make now.
Yes.
Right.
And the other thing is that it's not only that maybe we just don't want to increase the contaminants a little bit. We've got to reduce what we've done because right now right. the lake already is impaired by EPA because of algae and mercury. Mercury's long time ago, really,
mm-hmm.
and from power plant primarily, but it's the algae. And the algae's a harbinger of nutrients and sediment that go into the lake. The lake is limited by phosphate, and when you introduce more phosphate, you get more algae.
Yep.
And we know, and I'll get into this a little later, a lot of things have changed when the Forest Service first put together their last plan in 2006, 13-year-old plan, and we know a lot has changed since then, and maybe talk about that in a minute. But this project is going to close and reroute the Knobstone Trail, which is the premier long-distance hiking trail in Indiana. We have very few of them. And it's going to impact the horseback riding community, because if you've ever been down through Jackson and Lawrence, there's a lot of people that come out, and there's businesses that depend upon these trails being open. Well, if you're going to burn for 10 years or more in these areas, and you're going to log and close them for safety reasons or whatever, trail improvement, these businesses have to be impacted by it, and the recreational community is going to be impacted as well.
Who's the driver organization to do this?
The project?
Yes.
This is the U.S. Forest Service.
So the U.S. Forest Service, in their minds, think this is going to work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and this is the Hoosier National Forest staff in Bedford that is the lead, or the this 204,000 acres of Hoosier National Forest is managed by that group.
Right.
Let me tell you a couple other things about the impact, and then we can talk also about the scope of this. But we also know that there are a number, maybe as many as 8 federal and state listed bats and other mammals and amphibians that are listed as endangered or threatened in that area. And we know that when this work is being carried out, the logging and the burning, that this will impact these species.
Sure.
Yes. And the Forest Service says no, it may or may not very much, I'm not sure, but that, yes, that it's pretty clear that it will. We know that they're present there.
Yeah. A lot of times government thinks the animals are just going to move this far over and everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, I'm not going to interpret how they made that decision.
Or they don't even think about it. Yeah. I don't know.
But also, so the key part of kind of this decision-making process is that the Forest Service claims that the project will not have significant impact on many of these things, species, for example, or the lake or its watershed. And we don't believe, a lot of people don't believe, that the evidence that they've provided in discussions and in documents and have been objected to by many don't support those claims. We believe there will be, they can't prove there will not be no significant impact. And so that's the fundamental debate right now, is whether or not those claims are valid.
Well, you got to laugh about it. Now, you go out there in the forest, you dig up a shovel full of dirt, you throw it down, you let it rain, and where's that dirt going to go? It's going to go downhill.
To the lowest point.
To the lowest point, correct. If there's a creek there, that's where it ends up. Right. It's just like I-69. We drove down in the western part of Monroe County yesterday down, not on 69, but and saw some of the creeks, and of course it's all the rain and stuff. Every creek, except maybe one, was so muddy that it was ridiculous. Yeah. That wasn't coming from probably I-69. I-69 done polluted when they was building it. But all the disturbance of ground and stuff is going into these creeks.
Well, people think about logging and burning. They're significant, but the road building. How many miles did I say?
16, I think.
And 16 miles of road. Road building is major construction.
And you mentioned herbicide spray.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk about that in a minute too. Let me just get back to the erosion thing, because you pointed that out.
That's a huge thing, I believe.
So, one of their key factors that they're leaning on are best management practices. And this is a set of guidelines on what you can do when you're building roads or doing logging or burning. where you can minimize erosion, sediment loss, as an example. Mm-hmm. The problem is that there the studies don't support that these are 100% effective. In fact, there's a Kentucky study, this is relevance in our area, that the amount of sediment it was increased 14 times over where it wasn't logged over a 17-month period, even when best practices were employed. So they don't guarantee that there won't be sediment loss. Well, and here's the other thing about it, too, is that if you look across the literature that and kind of look at the averages and where they have been evaluated, it ranges anywhere from 50 to 90%. So we're not talking 100% guarantee. The U.S. Forest Service here at Hoosier National in their 2016-2017 report were not perfect. They were, let's just say they were not perfect in how they employed these best management practices. So there's no guarantee that they can provide that they're going to be able to manage this in a way that we feel needs to be in order to protect a drinking water source like Lake Monroe.
Well, as a project engineer and later as a manager of project engineers, one of my most important topics with my people was unintended consequences, because that's what we don't study. That's what we got to think about in every project.
Absolutely. That's what I worry about here, too.
Yes.
Best intentions, but unintended
consequences.
Absolutely.
You can have the best idea in the world and not have thought about the unintended consequence.
Right. Well, a lot of these people on these committees and stuff say, well, we'll log over here just a little bit. It's not really going to hurt anything. It's not enough. And then the next one, he says, well, we'll log over here and build a road, and really there won't be that much. It might be a little. But all them littles add up to biggins. And the next thing you know, in place of a wheelbar load, you've got a truckload.
It's called cumulative impact.
Right.
And that has to be part of the analysis.
Yep.
Exactly.
I think we're going to have to take a break, ain't we?
We got some music playing. We are. We'll be right back.
Okay, don't go away.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now it's 63 degrees. We got a flood watch going on, so be careful out there. That's going to be all day today, and heavy rain expected. High is 62. Lots of rain today. And then Sunday, it looks like we got maybe it's so windy out right now. I think we got a front that came through, and it's going to be high of 44 on into 53 and 60 back in the midweek. It's going to be pretty nice. So, anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. More biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
I think we lost Don because his phone died, but he texted me. He's listening. He's going to maybe pop in with an when he comes up with a question. And in the meantime, I just wanted to say that I missed his playing his new harp.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that new harp he's got now, that's...
I heard you guys talking about it. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
That's something.
Yeah. It had a lot of spring to it.
I heard the story about the shipping.
Oh, he's there.
Hello.
Hey, Don.
You're on the air.
Hi, it's Dan calling.
Oh, Dan, how you doing?
Dan.
Well, that's all right. You're on the air anyway.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I'm enjoying the discussion, and I just have one little quick thing to say about Lake Monroe. So the way I think of everything that has been discussed and the whole everything going on with Lake Monroe is this is everybody's water. It's everybody's. I'm drinking a cup of coffee that came from that water source, and that water source came from the rain that's falling, and it came from Brown County and Jackson County and Monroe. And so what I see missing in the discussion is everybody is impacted, everybody's included. It's all of ours. And what we do when we talk about this is we say, well, here's what the U.S. Forest Service is doing, here's what the DNR is doing. I'm thinking of the fisherman, and I'm thinking of the person who has the runoff from his house, you know, and everybody's responsible for keeping their garbage out of my drinking water, your drinking water. It's everybody's. And what Bill said about the highway, when I think of that, the rain's falling on that patch of ground and it's running down the streams, and you can look at it. You can look at what's happened because we thought, well, we're just going to slide in here and put a highway in it. It won't affect anything. Well, it does. And I have a friend over in the area Bill was talking about, and that thing ruined his well and his drinking water. He just wants to live out in the country and be left alone, and that highway destroyed his well. He doesn't have good drinking water because of the runoff and the construction. And so anyway, that's what I see as the solution. We make it more of a crime to mess up everybody's water. And so the guest, thanks for being on there. I heard you say that basically when everyone complies with laws regarding runoff, when they comply, we see an increase of 14 times as much sediment, only when they comply. So what does that mean when they don't comply? It's even worse than that.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's one study that I cited there, but I think the
point... I'm going to cut you off so I can grab this other phone call.
Thanks
but
for listening to me and carry on.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, so that's one study that I cited. I think the point is that they're not perfect, and with the best intentions, we got to guarantee to protect this drinking water. We need 99.9%, 100% in order to do that. And we can't be looking at averages of 50 to 90 and things like that and say, well, maybe that's good enough. It's not.
It's not, no.
Yeah. And that's what I think when I'm so focused on what I call erosion, whether it's man-made or natural. These five watershed districts, if they're going to unite on anything, it has to be on the erosion factor, in my mind.
Right. And that's actually part of the study for Lake Monroe Group, too, is to see if that's the major threat. Because
it has to be.
Well, I would kind of think so, too, but that's part of the study how much sediment's coming in from the various tributaries, what rate is it coming in. Let me point out a couple other things about things have changed.
Yeah.
2006 is the forest plan that the Forest Service relies upon for the analysis and the decision-making here about working in Houston South. It's a 13-year-old plan. This study is outdated in a number of ways, and one is there was no mention of algae buildup in Lake Monroe back in their 2006 study.
Never heard of it.
Right. Last 7 years, item has issued recreational advisories due to algae.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We know that.
Right.
We also know that the temperatures have averaged higher, and we're getting more extreme rainfall events. So that if you're doing road construction, you're doing logging, and you get a 4-inch rain, like maybe today or tomorrow, what you did a couple weeks ago is going to get washed.
Yep.
And you can move large volumes of sediment in these extreme events. And Purdue, in the climate study, has predicted all of this is going to get worse. So we know since 2006 that the threat of sediment and runoff and nutrients is going to get worse.
Well, and that's where I keep going when I keep saying erosion. I think it's comprehensive. It covers herbicides. It covers everything that's in the sediment.
Yes.
If it was just dirt and the water got brown, that wouldn't be near as bad.
But we know the sediment carries phosphate, and phosphate is the limiting nutrient. And phosphate is released from sediment once it's deposited in the lake. So this is a source of algae buildup. We know that. The second one, and you just mentioned herbicides. In the last 13 years, we've all been aware of the controversy around the use of glyphosate, Roundup. Well, there's a lot of uncertainty about its environmental fate. How much is bound to soil? How much does it move from soil? How much does it release from soil? That's environmental fate. And then there's all these questions about its human health and questions about the impact on ecology.
Mm-hmm.
13 years of uncertainty has been created by since the last study. So there's a question of whether we ought to be using a herbicide like that.
Well, Don and Bill and I were quite tickled when we found out we couldn't let our dogs get in the lake, but it was safe for us.
I thought
that was a pretty strange.
Well, you don't lick your fur. So.
Maybe that's it.
Hey, I got a question from a caller here. You're on the air.
Morning.
Morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
It's John. I called last week. I've called several times before, and my thing I called about last week was drinking water. And
right.
And the comment that I'm alluding to again is, and being in Monroe County and Brown County, how many municipalities have built and polluted 3, 4, 5 reservoirs? And that's what we're looking at here. And we were set up to fail with Lake Monroe, with Corps of Engineers being involved and allowing the construction of the Point, or the Four Winds, that was the largest inland marina in the country at one time. I don't know. It's pretty self-explanatory, but this reservoir, and we talked about it last week, DNR, Forestry Division, Corps of Engineers. We're fighting something we can't win, and Don said last week, and that was the key point. We all need to get to the ballot box and all need to be heard, because the way it's going right now, drinking water is our number one priority, Again, I'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for your comment. I appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, John. That kind of takes me to a point I wanted to make before we run out of time here. When you look at the 204,000 acres of Hoosier National Forest, there are certain areas that have been designated that allow commercial logging. And it doesn't require it, but allows it. So that's about 90,000 acres that allow that. Of that 90,000 acres, 27,000 involve municipal water supplies, either Patoka or Lake Monroe. That means, do the math, 63,000 acres of Hoosier National could be logged without impacting or threatening drinking water supplies. So the question is, when they looked at alternatives, did they consider drinking water supply in their analysis? And
surely they did.
So I'm not sure right now. I won't say yay or nay.
Well, I don't know either.
That's what we've asked, and that's what we'll continue to ask, is that could this project go somewhere? And you do your forest management the way you feel you need to do your forest management, but not have it in a watershed that supplies drinking water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Patoka and Monroe are the largest, and there's probably a few other small ones. But we've done a lot of work on mapping about this, and we feel that 63,000 is a close approximation to where they might go.
Well, I guarantee you, in my mind, even if you did exactly the way you guys have it mapped out, there still might be some consequence, but it's going to be much less.
Yes, right. It's all about risk.
Right.
Very minimal.
So kind of on a wrap here, we're kind of in the final throes of decision making, as I mentioned, and I'd like to urge our voters, mm-hmm. and folks on the radio, citizens.
Yeah, all the citizens.
That you can certainly call your U.S. senators and House representative. This is federal.
What's the bill number we're talking about?
Well, there's no bill. This is just a project that's being run by the Forest Service.
Okay.
But I would suggest that you call Governor Holcomb. He represents citizens of Indiana, and we're talking about drinking water. We're talking about people's jobs and businesses and the recreational community in the area. And his phone number is 317-232-4567. I'll repeat that, 317-232-4567, and ask him to contact the supervisor at the Hoosier National Forest and say this project, we're concerned about its threat to the water supply for 140,000 people, and it's clearly going to damage recreation and possibly the livelihood of businesses in the rural area around the forest, and the Forest Service needs to look for some alternatives and talk about those.
I agree.
I got Don back here on the air real quick. Don, you there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I just wanted to add, for what it's worth, that I've spent probably 40, 50 years dealing with the U.S. Forest Service and the Hoosier National also, back in the days of the off-road vehicle battles, which is pretty much not an issue anymore because they just opened it up without any rules. But anyway, dealing with the U.S. Forest Service, it's like beating your head against the wall. My experience is that they're going to do what they want to do no matter what you do. And I just think it's impossible to deal with them. They have their harvest goals, and that's what they're going for, and no matter how much damage it causes. And I'd like to be a little more positive, but my experience says it's hopeless. And then after the Forest Service, you have all these septic tank around the lake that leak right into there all the time. And you talk about a battle, try to get those taken care of.
Boy, you're a ray of sunshine today.
Well, you're right. And, of course, me and you have preached this for how many years now? And that's where we need to get to Holcomb, the governor. And they're the ones that can control the forest as far as logging and stuff if they want to.
You mentioned, Bill, about Holcomb. He's the guy that was in office when they carried out all this logging in the state forests. And I know hardcore Republican friends who live up in that area north of the forest up in there. Who tried to call Holcomb and get him to stop doing this, but they didn't even get to talk to him. You know, he wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah, that'd be my fear. I've had better luck with senators. I've got a couple state congressmen that I can depend on.
But your federal senators, these are U.S. senators?
No, I'm talking state.
Yeah, well, I'm saying for this project, this is federal.
Federal, yeah.
Okay.
So you want to talk to your you know, Senator Braun, Senator Young, Representative Hollingsworth. These are federal folks.
They're fairly responsive. Not as much as the state.
But I would suggest you could start with Governor Holcomb, just so he knows there are citizens concerned about that. And it's going to take a lot of us, honestly, with a lot of calls and a sustained effort.
Well, I'm like Don on Governor Holcomb. I wonder how much of that he ever hears from whoever you do get to talk to.
Well, it's hard to tell, but
Well, hey, we're running out of time.
We are.
I just want to.
We just got started.
We could go another hour, couldn't we?
Yeah, we sure could. Rich.
We will come back. Did you want to leave him with anything else, Dave? I really appreciate you calling. And Don, you too. I'm going to send you off.
See you, boys.
Back to
See
Florida
you,
land. Bye, Don. And
no, I just appreciate the opportunity to raise awareness for folks listening and the opportunity to be here and chat with folks.
Well, we want to thank both of you for being here, and especially Dave with all this information.
He's had
a whole basket full of information that's very worthwhile to listen to. And don't forget the meeting over in Brown County, the 14th.
At 6:45 p.m.
At 6:45.
Public Library.
At the Public Library. So don't forget that, and try to show up. That's the only way we'll get anything done is a lot of people get together and really put out some force and say this is the way it's going to be and really work at it.
Well, I hate to sound
bye-bye, guys.
Hey, see y'all later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening,
folks.
That's
all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.